Our text for this morning is to be found in the passage that has been read, that is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and then particularly verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, the word of God and our text. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ is a very unique person. He is altogether so unique, different from anyone else that we could possibly imagine. He is unique in the way he approaches people. He is unique in the way he proclaimed the gospel, but he is also unique in another manner, that is, in his very character. And so this morning we want to consider one of the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that characteristic is described for us here in this passage, chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. And it is a passage that, when we look at it at first, what does that mean? We need some explanation of this. We need to get into this because it says something great about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I must say that when we look at this passage, there is it is to be found in this larger passage, that is chapter 8, in which the Apostle Paul is busy describing the needs of the churches, particularly the church in Jerusalem, in the nation of Israel, and that they are very poor, and that the richer churches in other countries should contribute to the poor. And so that is then in the context. Now, the verse that we have here stands in the context of how we are to share the riches with the poor. And then we have this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ here, in which we are told that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he, though he was rich, yet for our sakes, that is the believers, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that for our sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Now, that will need some explanation, but I also want to say one thing yet, and that in the context of this passage, there is also yet a hidden meaning, a hidden meaning, and I will come to that by the end of the message that the Lord allows me to declare to you. And so, I hope to deliver to you then this message by the following theme and division: the riches and poverty of Christ. In the first place, the riches enjoyed by Christ. Secondly, the poverty as the voluntary way for Christ. And then thirdly, the poverty of Christ leading to the riches of the believers. And so, congregation, we want to follow closely the words of our text, where it begins: for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich. Now, the Apostle Paul reasons here with the people of the Corinthian church, and by the way, a rather rich church, that he reasons with the people of the Corinthian church on the basis of what they know already as believers. They know this. What is it they know? Well, they know, among other things, that Christ is rich. He is very rich. And so, this is something that you and I should know as well. And if you do not know this, let me just bring this to your attention for a moment. Christ was rich. So we're speaking of the past. Christ was rich. And as I said, this has to do with his past. That is, before he was born in the flesh. Prior to Bethlehem, prior to the manger, Christ was rich, incredibly rich, in fact. He was rich, you could say, beyond description even. And when I begin to describe some of those riches to you, then I must tell you that words will fail me to do adequate honor to the riches of Jesus Christ. But let me do my best to bring forth the message as the Holy Spirit has given it to me. Now, in our present world, rich people are gauged by what they are worth by terms of dollars. The one is worth $10 million. Another one is worth billions of dollars. And so our world gauges riches in terms of dollars that they have. Well, such an assessment will not do for the Lord Jesus Christ. His worth is beyond the figure of dollars. Christ was worth beyond the worth of silver or gold. He was rich beyond the greatest possible material wealth. Therefore, when we gauge the riches of Jesus Christ, we should not gauge it by the possessions of silver or gold or material wealth, because ultimately he does have it all already in his possession, doesn't he? But, and here is what we need to understand. Christ was rich beyond all of such possessions. Let me try to show this to you for a moment. Christ was rich, was first of all rich by way of very special relationship, namely the relationship he had with his Father in heaven. Now I want to take you for a moment to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8 and the verses 22 and 23. And there we have something that is very unique about the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 8 and verse 22. And there we may say that we have the Lord Jesus himself speaking. Verse 22 of Proverbs 8. The Lord possessed me, or you could also translate it, the Father owned me. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. So Jesus Christ says, I was set up from the everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. And so we have here something about the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ in terms of his relationship with his Father. And then we come to verse 30. Verse 30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. And so here we have described some of the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ in his relationship to his Father. And it was a delight to the Lord Jesus Christ to have that relationship. And it was a delight to the Father to have such a relationship with his Son. And so there we have some of the riches of Christ and his relationship. Now, let's take that in for a moment. From everlasting, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was with his Father in the most wonderful relationship possible and imaginable. He was daily the delight of his Father. He was always rejoicing in the presence of his Father, always rejoicing. He was always the well-beloved of the Father. He was always with the Father in the closest relation possible, father-to-son relationship, never apart from him, never out of his sight, never alone, never lonely, never even a hint of feeling of being forsaken. Christ was rich in this relationship. But not only that, Christ was also rich in power. Rich in power Riches and power are actually most often closely related, aren't they? They are interrelated. This is how it is with most men in this world of today. But so it was most evidently with Christ. Christ was rich in power. He enjoyed the greatest powers imaginable. Now let me just show you for a moment, because the Bible teaches this. When in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, it was the power of Christ particularly that came into action. The powers of Christ came into action at creation time. We read, for instance, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 3, about Christ. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And more specifically, the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 1 and verse 16 about Christ, and I quote, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." Clearly, therefore, Christ enjoyed the greatest riches of power. Even the powers of creation were at His disposal. And again, it was therefore according to the pleasure of His Father, and also with the full approval of His Father, that He exercised those powers of creation. See, it's Spurgeon. He has this to say: "The creating power of Christ was one of the brightest jewels of His crown." Now, one more thing about the riches of Christ that Christ enjoyed, that is the riches of His honor. We know that the Bible, and from the Bible, that Christ sat on a throne from eternity already. He sat on a throne. When He created the angels, those heavenly beings surrounded the throne and gave Him honor. They, as it were, hovered around Him, covering their faces and their feet, all the while singing His exalted position. You know those words well from Isaiah. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." How rich, therefore, was the honor that Christ enjoyed in eternity past, and from the day that He made all things. And when the Israelites of the Old Testament times went up to the temple in row upon row, singing, they did so, unbeknown perhaps to many of them at that time, but they did so to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they sacrificed the incense of praise on the altar, they did so again, unbeknownst perhaps to themselves, but to the honor of Jesus Christ. Now, David particularly had a keen sense of giving honor to Christ when he would sing about the Lord, saying to his Lord to be seated on the throne, and when he would sing, "Kiss the Son." You can read of that in Psalm 2. Well, there we have then at least three dimensions of the riches that Christ enjoyed. Three dimensions. One, the riches of His relationship with His Father. Two, the riches of the powers that He possessed, particularly in creation. And then three, the riches of honor that He received, particularly through the angels. Now, there are other dimensions of Christ's riches that could be looked at yet. The riches of His divinity, for instance, the riches of His eternity, the riches of His love, and so on. And other riches could be spelled out to you as well. And I leave that for your thoughts, for your meditations. But how greatly Christ enjoyed all those riches. It is enough to make any human being say, man, if I would enjoy all those riches, I would always want to stay in that state. If I enjoyed such riches, I would never want to or even desire a change. And yet, and this is precisely what Christ worked towards and submitted to, namely, a change. A change. And so, as our thoughts have dwelt on the riches enjoyed by Christ, let us then consider this change, that is, the change to poverty. Let me show that to you in the second place. Poverty as the voluntary way for Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul says of Christ here in our text that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. The changes from riches to poverty was quite a dramatic change for the Lord Jesus Christ. For an eternity, as you have heard already, Christ enjoyed unparalleled heavenly glory, immeasurable riches. But there came a time, there came a period in history, which the Bible calls the fullness of time, when Christ parted from all his heavenly glory and left the enjoyment of the heavenly riches and came to earth. Now, in theological terms, we say that Christ entered into the state of humiliation. When did this begin? Well, when he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, when he was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. This began our Lord's, the Son of God, that's when his poverty began. When he took upon him human flesh, when he began to dwell upon this earth, the change for him. Then it was when Christ found himself in poverty. And the Apostle Paul describes the entering of Christ into the state of humiliation and finding himself in poverty when he writes, for instance, in Philippians chapter 2. And let me read that for you. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So you see, Christ left the riches that he enjoyed, dear people, and he entered into poverty, the poverty of taking upon himself a human body and a human soul and a human existence. And the degree of his poverty that he entered into is underlined especially by the fact that he was born of a poor girl from Nazareth, that he was born in a stable, that he was laid in a manger, because, so we are told, there was no room for him in the inn or anywhere else. And his poverty, therefore, continued, that poverty line continued throughout his brief life upon the earth. And we know that as well, don't we? Because his companions were by and large just poor fishermen. He depended for his material good on the good-hearted women who would meet him and who would then also be a help to him. He never knew from one night to the other night where he would be able to get some bed rest. He once told a would-be follower, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." Now, if this was the extent of his poverty, well, but no. Because we are told that he became a servant, that is, a suffering servant. He was despised and he was rejected by man. He was maltreated as a common criminal. He was tried by an unjust judge and he was sentenced to death, even sentenced to the death of the cross. And if that wasn't enough of the measure of the poverty that he had to endure, look for a moment to what happened when he hung on the cross. He was robbed of his clothing. He was deprived of all common decency and courtesy. At one point on the cross, he even lost his father's presence. How so? When the poverty of Christ raised its head and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then to put the nail in the coffin of Christ's poverty, we are told yet that he was buried in a borrowed tomb. What a change, dear people, what a change from the riches that he once enjoyed to the utter poverty that he entered into. Think of this for a moment. Let it sink in, dear people. What a drastic change it was for Christ. From high heavenly riches to sub-earthly poverty. From perfect bliss to absolute misery. What a change from the delights of a loving fellowship with his Father to the grief of being despised and being rejected of men, of being the brunt of hatred, of being betrayed and being deceived even by those who said were his followers. What a change from the riches of honor in the heavenly realms to the humiliation that he experienced upon this earth. What a change from the riches of power to being nailed on a cross and not able, humanly speaking, to get off. What a change it was for the Lord Jesus Christ, dear people. It is beyond your and my comprehension and understanding, because really, we cannot possibly fathom how rich he was, neither can we truly fathom how poor he became. Young people, boys and girls, try to imagine for a moment how shocking a change it would be if you, now living in a wonderfully peaceful and prosperous home, enjoying abundance of food and clothing and provisions and care, if you would, in a moment's notice, be forced to be transformed into a refugee, living in a refugee camp in Afghanistan, for instance, or in the slums of Zimbabwe, or on the garbage dump in Guatemala City, where I've been and what I've seen there, where men and women, boys and girls, are starving for food, gasping for a drink, rags of clothing with misery and death staring them in the face. As I stood there close to that garbage dump with Reverend Hurst, we cried what we saw there. How, I ask you, boys and girls, how would such a change affect you, I ask? It could very well put you into permanent shock. I know I would. And if not that, it would certainly be something that I would not want. I would resent such a transformation. Well, now the change from riches to poverty was much more drastic for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Christ was not forced into this change from riches to poverty. He was not forced into any kind of transformation from being rich to becoming poor. It was a voluntary thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. He opted for this change, you see, and he did so even with pleasure. We are told that he desired this change. It was his delight to do so. He did it out of the love of his very own heart, you see. How so? Well, read our text again. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. That is, all of you who have learned to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will know this. This was for your sake, for my sake. It was for our sake that he, Jesus Christ, became poor. While still enjoying the riches in heaven in the past. While still enjoying the fellowship with his Father in heaven in the past. While still enjoying the powers and the honors as well in heaven. A yearning developed in the Lord Jesus Christ towards a people upon this earth, such as you and me. And a love grew in his heart for us. A desire began to overtake him to have fellowship with the likes of you and me. Imagine. And that with the full approval and love of the Father, Christ laid down his glory for us. He left the heavenly riches for us, for you and me. And he became poor. Well then, what is the purpose for Christ undergoing such a voluntary change from riches to poverty? Let me show this to you in the last place. As I must speak of the poverty of Christ leading to the riches of believers. And again, our text makes this very clear. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, here we have spelled out for each one of us the grand purpose of Christ volunteering to endure poverty, so that through his poverty, believers such as you and I may be rich. And here is the gospel. Here is the good news, dear people, for you and for me. Here is reason for our hopes and for our expectations. Especially if we have learned what it means to be human and what it means to be poor because of sin. As you know, we have become poor through our fall into sin, through our departure from God. Let that sink in for a moment. Our fall into sin through Adam and Eve has made us the poorest creatures that have ever lived upon this earth. Sin has robbed us of any and all riches that were worthwhile for us to treasure. Sin has made us poor wretches of, and has made poor wretches of every one of us, you see. It was seeing sin in himself that made the Apostle Paul say, after we could read in Romans chapter 7, "O wretched man that I am." But thank God, he didn't end with that. Because he said, and also, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Why? Because through Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ, he, the Apostle Paul, knew himself to be rich. Just so, you and I, we can become rich again. Not in dollars or cents necessarily, but rich, that is, spiritually rich through Jesus Christ. Christ's poverty, you see, was a sacrificial poverty. Poverty became the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this specifically when we see him hanging on the cross of Golgotha, dear people. To the untrained eye, the death of Christ on the cross was poverty at its worst, but nothing more than that. But to us who have come to know Jesus Christ through the Word, to us who have come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross was pure sacrifice draped in poverty. Our eyes of faith see our poverty therefore swallowed up in Christ's poverty. And we see our sin carried away by Christ the sin bearer. Our eyes of faith see the poverty of Christ and see in the poverty of Christ the Savior of the poor and the needy and the lost. Are you seeing it, my friend? Are you seeing it? Do you have those eyes of faith? Do you have such a heart that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ? Has the voluntary poverty of Jesus Christ already made you stop and think? Now, why did He ever want to endure all such poverty? He did it, my friend, He did it to reach out to you and to draw you to Himself. He did it to have fellowship with you. And not only that, my friend, but He did it to make you rich. As our text says it so clearly, doesn't it? That ye, through His poverty, might be rich. Now don't overlook this. Christ sacrificed Himself not only to save us from our sins, that is glorious, definitely, but He also sacrificed Himself to make us rich. Rich in faith, rich in love, rich in fellowship, and someday rich in honor and glory. Someday, as believers, we may share in the riches of Jesus Christ that He had in eternity already and which He is presently busy storing up for us. On the day that we may join Him after we pass out of this life. As believers, you see, we are rich already. Rich just knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. We are rich in having that spiritual fellowship with Him, that is, through the Word and through the Holy Spirit and the sacrament that we have on occasions as well. We are rich in having the promise of that great inheritance above, that inheritance that takes up eternal life. And someday, we will be rich to perfection when we shall be with Christ, our Savior, and then being with Him and having Him, Jesus Christ, we will desire nothing more than fellowship and love for Him and through Him and of Him. Because having Jesus Christ, we are rich beyond any comparison. And so, the question can be asked, do you know of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends, dear congregation? Do you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that faith in Jesus Christ actually takes you from rags to riches, spiritually? Now, if you don't, if you say, man, I don't really know what you're talking about at all. If you don't, you might be rich financially. You might be wealthy in terms of possessions. But quite frankly, you are a very poor person. Very poor. Because Christ then says to you, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. In this respect, Christ Jesus wants you to think about what you have heard this hour. He wants you to consider very carefully the worth of your earthly gains when he says, for instance, in Mark 8, verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Therefore, my friend, consider Jesus Christ. Consider what he has done. Consider what he, at this moment, has to offer to you as well. Because when you embrace this offer in faith in Jesus Christ, that is, when you embrace what he has to offer and say, Lord Jesus, may I have this too, you will be rich beyond compare. Now, in closing, as I mentioned at the very beginning, there is a hidden message in the context of our text. As you have heard, and as in the reading of the Word of God, most of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 deals with the needs in Jerusalem, poverty, and the riches of those in Corinth, and that those riches should be shared with the believers. Now, there is therefore a hidden message in all of this. And it may seem somewhat unrelated, so pedestrian, of what we have heard so far. Yet I trust it is not. The hidden message is this, that if Christ became poor to make you rich, you may, first of all, rejoice in such riches. But then as you do, and here's the hidden message, as you do, be sure then to share your spiritual riches with others, your spouse, your children, your church family. That means that you are called to bless those with your love for Christ, that you are to bless them with your forgiveness through Christ, that you are to bless them with your Christ likeness, you see, and Christ kindness. Let the riches of Christ, therefore, flow through you to others, even to your neighbors. Therefore, be generous in the cause of Christ, and let Christ have the praise for it then as well. Because remember, it was through Christ, who was rich, who became poor for you, that you may now be rich and be able to share it with others. In short, let me just say, here is the hidden message. He became poor so that others would benefit from it. He made you rich, rich, so that others could benefit from it as well. Thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich, became poor, so that you and I, being poor, may be rich, and to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee at the end of this worship service to thank Thee, for Thou hast shown us something beautiful, something unique, about the Lord Jesus Christ, your blessed Son. We thank Thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, that though Thou didst enjoy perfect wealth and riches, Thou didst delight in coming down to this earth and taking upon Thyself voluntarily utter poverty, so that we could become rich. Lord Jesus, grant to each and every one of us, young and old, that faith that embraces Thee in all Thy beauty, in all Thy wealth, in all Thy riches, and that we may embrace Thee, knowing that Thou will be pleased to embrace us. Bless us, we pray. Bless the young people, the boys and girls, that they may know at an early stage in life what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it will be good for them, that it will bring them tremendous riches, beyond comparison in this world. And so bless our youth as well. Bless the boys and girls. Bless the congregation. Bless us as we have fellowship with one another when we leave the sanctuary. And grant that we may say great things of Thee, O Lord Jesus Christ. Dismiss us now in Thy favor. And grant that all things may be done to the honor of your blessed name. And bring us back again later on this afternoon as we want to worship you again. And that in Jesus' name, in the forgiveness of our sins. Amen.